His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, black power, my family. I'm going to say again, black power to my family. This is your brother, your comrade in arms, Sean Kwali, broadcasting live to you once again from the hills and the smells of North America. It is my honor and my privilege and my esteemed joy to be talking to you once again from this platform that we call Black Power Radio. And as always, we send you greetings on behalf of our national chairman, the warrior laureate, the five-star general himself. We're talking about the attorney and the doctor, Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is burning up the airwaves in defense of truth, freedom, justice, and equality. And we also send you greetings on behalf of the National Central Committee, all of the national laborers who make up the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and also all of the chapters of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We welcome you once again and black again to Black Power Radio. And the topic tonight, family, we are talking about it is not okay to be revolutionary and be broke. I'll say again, it is not okay to be revolutionary and be broke. But we want to give it plenty of context, and we want to give it plenty of backdrop and put some meat on the bones, because we draw a fine line as revolutionary black nationalists when we talk about economics and when we talk about capitalism. So we got to talk about this tonight. We got to talk about what it means to be successful here in the hills of North America, and what it means to have wealth and have money and have fine things, but also what it means to have wealth and be revolutionary, what it means to live nice and be revolutionary, what it means to be able to give back to your communities and give out of what you have. And so that's the topic tonight. We're talking about it's not okay to be revolutionary and be broke. And we have to think about it like this, is that we know now that, you know, hell, money does not solve all of your problems. Let me start out, number one, by saying that we know for a fact, for a black fact, that money does not solve all of an individual's problems. But now, listen, if we're talking about that we want to have land and we want to have hospitals and we want to have factories and we want to be able to manufacture and we want to be able to produce, if we want all of these things, then there has to be a revolutionary, I'm talking about a warrior, a black-minded, African-centered individual, whether male or female. We're talking about a revolutionary who has capital in his or her pocket. Now, you always heard, you know, and you always hear the rappers talk about, especially our brother, and I always say that Dr. Tupac Amaru Shakur, you always hear him talk about you got to get your money right. You heard our national chairman just 2 weeks ago tell the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense that you've got to get your money right. Okay, so if we got to get our money right and we got to get our hustle on and we got to get our chips up, hell, that means that we slacking somewhere. We slacking in our macking, as they say. And so, hell, we got to get things right. And so, hell, yes, we want schools. Yes, we want hospitals. Yes, we want land. Yes, we want all kind of things, even good clothes and good vehicles. We want all kinds of things, but we have to have a way of exchange. Now, some of the critics say, you know, why even use the white man's money in the first place? They say, why even use the white man's money? Why even use this exchange and this system of capitalism? We got to talk about this tonight. We have to have a real healthy discussion about this tonight, because there is a sickness that is prevailing on both sides of the issue. There is a sickness that is prevailing on both sides of the issue where you have brothers and sisters who either they're all about the money and they're not about the movement, or they're all about the movement and they ain't got no money. And so we want to, in the spirit of Maat, develop a fine line tonight. We want to talk about, is it okay to be a revolutionary soldier in the Black Power movement and roll up in your Benzo? Is it okay to be a revolutionary soldier in the Black Power movement and roll up in your H3 Hummer? Is it all right to have private planes and to have jets and to have, you know, mink coats if that's what you want? Is it all right to be in the latest fashions, the latest shoes and sneakers? Is that okay as a revolutionary? I'm just throwing some things out here, first of all. Or should we, you know, just spend our lives, you know, on meager means, just getting by? Should we just be making enough money to be paying our bills, you know? And, you know, as they say, a job is just over broke. Should we just be over broke and then spend, you know, 95 and 98% of our time within the movement? I mean, now, what is the balance here? Because as I was talking to my queen earlier, I'm saying this. I'm saying that if you really look at it in terms of our movement as Black people, there is something missing in the movement. I'm going to say it again. If you look at our collective movement as we march forward towards freedom, liberation, and independence, there are some parts and parcels that are missing in our movement that we have not yet put our finger on and we have not connected to spring us to the next level. If we look up right now where we are and we look up to 20 years from now, we're still 20 years from now on Black Power Radio, you know, on Black Power Radio, on Blog Talk, doing this thing and doing this kind of medium, we don't yet own our own radio station, something is wrong. I'm going to say it again. If we look up 20 years from now and we're still doing the same thing right now, 20 years from now, something is wrong. And so when you look at the gains that our people have made in terms of the civil rights era, in terms of the freedom rides, in terms of our struggles coming up through the 50s and the 60s and all of that, if you look at the gains that our people, you know, they say that we have made compared to where we are now, did we really make any progress at all? Did we make progress, you know, being able to go to a lunch counter? Did we make progress being able to drink out of a water fountain, being able to, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad said, go to toilet with white folks? Did we really make progress in our struggle in terms of the boycotts and in terms of the marches and in terms of the protests? Have we made progress? And if we have made progress, what are the results of the progress that we see now in 2010? The argument is that now we have a Black president, and without a doubt, there wouldn't be a Black man in the White House at all had there not been levels of struggle. It just, I mean, I'm just trying to tell you, there wouldn't been that at all You know, even though we know what that all is and we know the hidden backdrop, we know the hidden hand, we're just trying to talk from a holistic perspective. We know there had to be levels of struggle for our people to get in certain positions in white America and whatnot. We're just being holistic. And so we're not negating that fact. But is the rise of President Barack Hussein Obama, is his rise into the White House the sum total of proof that black people have made it to, as the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King say, to the promised land? Is that the proof? Is that the, you know, the end all now that we have a black man in the White House and that's everything that our people have struggled for? You know, I remember when the brother, you know, took office and got elected and they, you know, they played it all over the news and you saw pictures of Reverend Jesse Jackson, I mean, you know, and others, they were just crying and boo-hooing and snotting because, you know, for them, this was the apex. This was, I guess, for them, everything that they had struggled for. They, I guess, struggled to, you know, see a black man in office or see a black man in what they presume is, you know, the highest office in the land. But I just got to be real, family. In the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and our National Chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, I don't think that that was everything that a sister like Harriet Tubman was fighting for. I don't think, and I really can say I know that that was not something that Toussaint Louverture and Dessalines and Boukman and Haiti and them were fighting for. I know that this was not something that Denmark Vesey and Sojourner Truth, all these honorable brothers and sisters were sincerely fighting for. They were not just fighting to be a part of the white power structure. So I can't honestly say with a straight face to you, family, that all that we, you know, struggle for was just to be in high offices. But that is in some circles now. That is a presumption of power. That is a presumption of wealth. That is a presumption of black economics. Now, as black nationalists, and as we say, revolutionary black nationalists, you know, we're talking about controlling the black dollar. You hear that a lot. We talk about controlling the black dollar. And when you look at it statistically, the black dollar is the only dollar anywhere in the world that goes out of the community one time. Our dollar goes around in our community one time and goes right back out to the white power structure. Other communities have it set up to where their dollars go in and out of their community at least four or five times, supporting their own power structure and economic base until it goes back out into the white power structure. And so I have to ask the right question. What are we doing wrong with our monies that it is not resulting in a land of our own? Freedom and independence, freedom schools, Panther schools, liberation schools, huh? What are we doing wrong with our money that is not resulting in more businesses, more black-owned businesses for our own? What are we doing wrong with our money and our resources that it's not resulting in health care, in, you know, things where we can take care of our own in our own medical field? What are we doing wrong? It's just asking these questions. Because anywhere you go in North America, the black community looks the same. I don't care where you go. People, you know, many of us think that, you know, we have the super Negro in our community. We think, you know, many of us think that we have an extra special Negro in our community that, you know, these new Black Panthers, y'all ain't never seen the Negroes that's in my community. You ain't never seen no Negroes like this. Let me tell y'all something. The Negro is not extra special in your community. The Negro, the so-called Negro condition is the same all throughout the hills of North America. We might have different accents. We might come in different shades or hues. We might even have, you know, different textures of hair and whatnot. But, hell, the condition of our people is the same. We are deaf, dumb, and blind and lost to a knowledge of ourselves. I mean, this is some undeniable, indisputable truth that is all across North America. And from what I hear, it's not even just North America. You got Negroes, you know, that are doing the same thing in South America. You got Negroes that do some of the same things in the mother country, in Africa, over in Brazil, in Australia, in Canada, in France. You got the so-called Negroes situation is the same no matter where you go. And so that means that, family, we are on a program, a systematic program that has made us all react similar to the situations that we face. I hope y'all caught what I said. We are in a program and in a system that makes us all react similarly to the situations that we face. You can have four young black men and young black women that are in our community, and you can have one Caucasian man in our community, and really that Caucasian man oftentimes in our community becomes safer in our community than the four black brothers or the four black sisters. What is that about? Okay, I'm just trying to point something out. Why is it now that more, you know, whites are moving into the black community now? And others from overseas moving into the black community now instead of people whose ancestors, whose blood soaks this soil. We are not buying up our property in our community in droves. We are letting everybody buy up our property. We're letting everybody come in and set up shop. The Chinese ladies, the Chinese people come in and sell the hell out of some weave, man. They sell the hell out of weave. They do the hell out of our sisters' nails. They do the hell out of our sisters' feet. I mean, they do the hell out of everything. They specialize in selling to black, in marketing to black, in giving black people what we presume is our culture. They specialize, and I should say they capitalize off of what we presume to be our culture. So how come black people, African people, the descendants of the greatest people who have ever existed anywhere in time, space, and sound are not capitalizing, or as Bobby Seale, Chairman Bobby Seale said, we're not seizing the time. How come we are not seizing the time and taking advantage of that which belongs to us? We have to ask the critical questions tonight, brothers and sisters, because, you know, they say that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. And so we have been doing this dance called the Hells of North America well over now, about 500 years. We've been doing this dance for a long time. We've been singing, dancing, cooning, scratching, laughing, and shuffling, and all of that for a long time now. I'm talking generations, centuries of time. We've been doing this, and it hasn't gotten us anywhere. We have not progressed an iota in terms of getting true liberation and true freedom. That's why we started out the program asking the question about President Barack Obama. Is that the definition? Is that your definition of being free? Is your definition of being free to be the head of the white power structure? I mean, think about it. Can you, and this is, I'm not being disrespectful, I'm trying to get you to think here. Can you imagine, sister, like, you know, Sister Harriet Tubman, can you imagine her striving to be at the head of the white power structure and representing and responding to white interests? Does that even really make a lot of sense to you in your mind? Now, I'm not dumb to history. I know about Shirley Chisholm. I know about others who have run and who, you know, have aspired. Even Jesse Jackson ran in the late 80s, you know, to be president. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that when Shirley Chisholm ran, she ran with the point of proving that black people could do more than what they said that we could do. And she already knew the odds that was against her. Number one, she was a woman, and number two, she was black. She knew this. But I guarantee you, even if she had won, she wouldn't have got in and did some of the things that's happening now. She would not have totally ignored the black agenda. She wouldn't have ignored reparations. She would not have ignored the political prisoners. So I'm saying it to say, is your definition of freedom what you're seeing right now? Because if your definition of freedom is what you're seeing right now, then you might as well, you know, go on with your life because you're free. To you, you are free. You're free. Everything is great. And, you know, I don't know. We ain't really talking to you if you think that you're free. But for those of us that have, you know, some sense, for those of us that know that we in the Matrix, for those of us that know this is BS, that our babies are in danger, we in danger, and that we're losing generations, okay, y'all continue to listen. If you know that we're not free, and we already know that we are spending monies with everybody else in the world but ourselves, what is it that we are willing to do to make a change? If revolution knows no compromise, if revolution is complete constructive change, then that means that everything that we do, every fiber of our being, every time that we wake up by the blessing of the creators with the energy of our ancestors, every time that we make a move, it should be towards complete constructive change. If it is not constructive, if it's not complete, and if it doesn't make a change, it ain't revolution. I'm gonna say, y'all hope y'all caught that. It ain't revolution. If it ain't complete constructive change, it's not revolution. I don't necessarily know what to define it as. We can maybe call it a revolutionary act, you know, but it ain't revolution. So if you're talking about revolution, as, you know, the Honorable Minister Malcolm X taught us, Elhaj Malik Shabazz, he taught us, he said that revolution overturns the system. Revolution uproots the system. It overturns and uproots everything in its path. That means it don't stop. I mean, if you ever seen, you know, the movie Twister, if you've ever been in a tornado or tornadic experience, when you watch these funnel clouds, how they join together from different sides and they organize and begin to make a motion or a revolution. That's what they're making. They make a revolution in the air and the sky. Then they begin to bond together and bond the materials that are on the ground to what's in the air to form one solid wall. They go forth through the land and uproot and overturn everything in the pathway until their revolution is done. So if the revolution is to uproot and to overturn the system, then how in the hell are we going to get free existing and capitulating in the system? All right, these are just some questions we're throwing out now. Now, we know that we got to work. You know, for those that don't have their own business and have not produced our own economic realities, you know, on our own hands and sweat of our brow, we got to work. We have to make money. You know, we have to survive. We got to eat. We got to go to grocery. You know, we got to feed our babies. We got to feed ourselves. We know that this is a living reality. The first law of the universe is self-preservation. So whether you're trying to or not trying to, everything that you're going to do is to preserve yourself, to preserve your being, to preserve your existence, to preserve your cipher, everything. So you know you got to work. You know you got to eat. You know you got to survive. But here you are now faced with this complex reality that you know the system is not in your favor. You know the white power structure is not for us. It's not for black. It hasn't been for black for 6,000 years. You know this. And so you know every time that you go to work, every time that you look in your boss's or supervisor's face, every time that you're around your coworkers, you know somewhere deep inside your soul, it burns the hell out of you that you have to be, and that we have to be on the white man's job, and we have not produced for ourselves. If you watch movies like Rosewood, and, you know, we watch movies like Roots, and we, you know, watch all kinds of things that we see, and, you know, we know the history that our people have faced. We know that white, I mean, it's not a question. We know white folks have built this empire called America on the backs of black people and oppressed people. We know this for a fact, that this is what has happened. So with that said, You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our people are owed some things. You know now in your mind, regardless to whether you consider yourself a revolutionary, whether you consider yourself a regular blue-collar or white-collar worker, whether you consider yourself upper class or middle class, whether you consider yourself, you know, just a regular, you know, good religious brother or sister or spiritual brother or sister, just looking at history itself, just looking at history itself and not worried about anything else, you know for a fact that something in your soul tells you something is wrong. When you go back and look at, you know, the cases of, you know, the brother like Anthony Hill and James Burr, and you look at the sister who was abused in Indianapolis, Indiana. You know, you look at the sister who was abused in Seattle, Washington. You take your mind all the way back to Rodney King. You take your mind, you know, all the way back to Oscar Grant. You take your mind back to Sean Bell. You take your mind back to whoever you can take your mind back to. I mean, there's so many. It's impossible. I can't name all of the accounts of brutality that we have faced. But I'm just saying that to say that if you take your mind back, you'll know. You would know this, that, you know, there's something wrong. You know, I got you, Fasan. I got you. I see you. You know something wrong every time. So let me bring her on. 937-838, you're on Black Power Radio. Question on
Black Power.
Hey, Black Power.
You know I had to help you out tonight, right?
I mean, I saw you. You know, I know you was coming. I talked about that tornado. I knew you was coming.
Oh, hush. Listen, one of the things that I want to really make clear to a lot of our black family in this revolution in the conscious community, or whatever you want to call it, black nationalist movement, like I said, whatever you want to call it, we have to stop stealing from each other. If you want to bootleg, you know, white movies, Tyler Perry movies, things like that, DVDs like that, CDs like Waka Flocka, go ahead. You know, download that. You know, bootleg that. Well, let's stop stealing from the people who are dedicating their lives to us getting free. Prime example, Dr. Chancellor William, when he went blind. His brother went blind, 18 years of hard work, just scouring over all these papers and documents and going here and going there. This brother went blind. He died nearly penniless because so many of us was bootlegging his stuff.
Right.
You got Doc Ben up in a Harlem nursing home as we speak. This man, he has forgotten more than any of us will ever know. He should not be living like that. He should not be living like that. We need to stop cutting ourselves off at the feet talking about all the information is to be told, not sold. Excuse you? Tell that to your doctor next time you go to a doctor. Tell that to your Jew lawyer next time you go to your Jew lawyer. Tell that to your accountant or the IRS or whomever it is that you do business with or have any kind of transactions with. You don't steal from your own people. You can take anything else. I call it reciprocity from anybody else. The Koreans, the Arabs, the devils, whomever. Take from them. Don't take from your own people. How are you going to start a grassroots organization or fund and fuel a grassroots organization and we're stealing from one another because we're bootlegging? It's unscrupulous and it's not necessary. People, stop it. If you're wondering why we're in a movement that's not moving anywhere, well, it takes money to move it.
It takes money
to fuel this engine. And we're sitting up here taking out of the pockets of the very people who are trying to help us get free. It makes absolutely no sense to me at all, talking about the information is to be told, not sold. I want to... Anyway, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's twofold because I've heard that too, you know, is to be sold, not told, and all that. I mean, but you know, we know where that comes from. That comes from the... You know, from the pimps and the whole pimp industry, you know what I mean? And all that talk about the game. And so it's like, so now you're going to superimpose, you know, pimp philosophy on top of your revolutionary philosophy. You dig what I'm saying?
Right, and it doesn't mix.
I mean, you know, if you can do it, if you can do it and make come out righteous, then all power to you. But I'm just saying,
you can't take dirty water and make it clean.
People.
It is what it is.
You dig what I'm saying? And you're right. And that's why I always say now, you know, because I see plenty, and I know you see plenty, and I'm just speaking on this because, you know, we the new Black Panther Party. But, I mean, this happens to a lot of our leaders, like you say, Honorable Dr. Amos Wilson, you know, the Honorable Dr. Ben, and Honorable Dr. Yusuf Ben Yagan, and all of them, you know, they had these DVDs. But I'm talking specifically, I see specifically, you know, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad's DVDs all over the place. I'm talking all over the place. You know, fools won't even, I mean, if you're going to bootleg it, at least give it a nice case. At least, at the very least, give it a nice case.
Give that man
put
that
nice
much
label
respect.
On it. Make it shiny, make it glossy, like, you know, like he represented with that shiny bald head. At least make it nice. But I mean,
check this
I'm
out.
Saying this.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. You know, you got Jews who will wheel their fortune to their certain leaders or certain grassroots organizations or ADL or whatever, you know, whatever it is. They will wheel their lifelong savings to make sure the future generations are adhering to the agenda of that Jewish population.
Right.
White people, the regular Anglo-Saxon white people will wheel things to their dogs. But furthermore, they will wheel things, their life savings to, like I said, certain organizations that are keeping up their agenda.
Yeah.
We are the only ones that cut our, we cut ourselves off at the foot before we even get in the race.
Yeah, not only do we cut our foot off, some of us ain't even damn running. We just watching everybody else run. You know what I mean? Everybody running around the track, you still at the starting gate. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, you're right. And that's why I'm saying that to say that, you know, if we going to talk about being in this movement, as you know, our national chief of staff say, you know, in a couple of shows back, you know, it's time to get serious. I mean, and I want you to weigh in on that. I mean, how do you feel about that? You know, should we be revolutionary and have fine things, have our pockets had a mumps, and, you know, or should we just, you know, live meager? What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to answer that honestly. There's a great team called Mansa Musa, if I'm not mistaken, that's how you pronounce it. But the Musa Mansa, I always get that confused. Anyway, of Mali. And he had so much gold, he was throwing it off his caravan, you know, his horse. He was just throwing gold off. We're used to being draped in fine linen and fine silk and fine gold. You know, that's what we're used, that's what the gods and goddesses of the earth are supposed to be draped in. So don't ever let anybody shame you into being poor. That does not equate to being black. That does not equate to being a revolutionary because you're poor. That just equates to being broke as hell. That's what that is. That has no color. You know what I mean? Broke is broke. So my
thing is,
right, so don't let anybody feed you that bull crap or give you some vow of poverty and all this other bull crap. Yes, we're supposed to be laced with the finest things because it belongs to us. Yes, we're supposed to have platinum. Yes, we're supposed to have gold and diamonds and rubies and pearls, oil, all that good stuff. That's what we're supposed to have. That's what God put it here for us to have.
Right. I mean, you know, and our history bears witness because, hell, you know, when they went to caves and hillsides of Europe, they didn't know how to bury their dead. You know, they was throwing, y'all read even in your college text how, you know, Queen Elizabeth and all them was throwing their dead out the windows and leaving them, you know, in the streets stinking and things like this. So we would wrap our, you know, those who had transcended, we wrapped them up in fine linens and, you know, I mean, had rubies and encrusted golds and all kind of stuff that was around those who transcended, not to mention those of us that were still on this plane. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, you know,
now I'm not trying to get in no Creflo Dollar TD Jakes kind of you give to get and all this other stuff and give 10% of your income, and to be a Black Panther, we need to see your W-2s, and no, that's not what we're saying. Folks, please don't get it twisted. This is not a pimp in a pulpit. What I'm saying is, I want to make this clear, because I don't want nobody saying, man, y'all preaching that? No, we're not.
Right.
Let me be clear about this one more time. We are the original inhabitants of this earth. It belongs to us. It's our birthright.
Exactly.
Do not let people equate being a revolutionary or Black to being poor or broke. Those two are like oil and water. We're very volatile, and we get real itchy when we broke.
Right. I think it's just funny. I think it's just really funny because, you know, when I try to always, you know, promote good eating and things like that. When I'm with people and they, you know, out in the restaurants and they bills come or whatever, you know, I never really see people, I'm talking about revolutionaries too, they don't really argue with the waiter on the prices, how much the bill was. They just be like, okay, $24, all right, here's $30, whatever, here's your tip, blase, blase. But then when you say, hey, brother, hey, sister, you know, let's start to pull our resources so we can buy up land. Let's put $2 to the side. Let's put $25, you know. So then it's like everybody gets mute and deaf, and you don't know what, you know, like you're speaking sign language or something. You know what I'm saying?
So you're speaking the language of, huh? It's a new language called, huh?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have no problem giving money to the white man and the white power structure by whatever form it comes. But, you know, when it comes to giving money to Black folks, to giving to ourselves, it's like, man, we get stingy. I'm not saying everybody, so don't take it personal, listen, audience. But some of us get stingy as hell. Like, you
no, I want them to take it personal. Don't, man, you try to. See, listen,
you
people.
You get what I'm saying.
He is though. Our national minister of communication, all right? This brother is nice with words like that, all right? I want you to, if you get offended, good, you should, because you know it's one thing, I don't know if it's Dr. Khalid Muhammad or Attorney Shabazz that always says, the one, when you throw a rock into a pack of wolves, the one who howls is the one who got hit.
Yeah, straight up. Straight up.
So if you're feeling uncomfortable, good. We're not here to be your friends or worry about your comfort level or your sensitivity level. If you're feeling uncomfortable, you should feel uncomfortable.
If you're feeling uncomfortable, it's because you're probably one of the ones that's been holding on to your damn money. Let's just call it like it is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't want to include everybody. For those that are giving, man, we thank you. And I'm not talking about just to the new Black Panther. I'm just saying, period, to the Black movement, period. Whether you're giving your time, your resource, whatever, man, it's all good. I don't want to just blanket everybody, but I'm just making the point that, hell, that there is no way that we can promote and push and do the kind of things that we do and need done for our people if we ain't willing to pull out resources, which also means money. I mean, you look at, you know, the Black Panther Party of the 60s and, you know, and how many of the leaders of the original Black Panther Party of the 60s were being locked down on trumped-up charges. You know, and how they, you know, was, you know, the bonds and the, you know, all that was like thousands of dollars. I'm talking in the 60s, you know what I mean? And they had to raise monies. I'm talking about, you know, go across the country speaking and fundraisers and, you know what I mean, eat-outs and dances and skates and all that they did just to get the leaders out of the concentration camps. This stuff took money. They didn't, you know, nobody waved a damn magic wand and, you know, got them Panther leaders up out of jail. They was either broken out of jail, like what the BLA did, you know what I mean? Or they was, you know what I mean? Pressure was put on the courts through the activism, or they were straight up, you know, bailed out. I mean, straight up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you cannot seriously think that in 2010 with Homeland Security and the Patriot Act and all that, that when, you know, as they start to really jail the leadership, you know what I mean, that we not going to need people that's out here kicking in monies to get us out. And I'm telling you straight, don't wait till my Black ass is behind bars and start talking about now I'm going to get money. We got to build the fund now. Not just for me, but let's not forget our comrade DK who's locked down right now.
Thank you. Because I just got a letter from him, family. I just got a letter from this brother. And this brother said, I'm going to find a letter real quick while I'm talking to you. Here we go. He said, He said, how is the Black Power Radio going? What's some ratings like? Give me a free DK shout out. You just don't know how much I miss, you know, talking to y'all. So Brother DK is locked down. Don't let's not sit around here and scurry now. But Sami already sent her money. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
exactly.
You know, what's good?
I'm kicking in. I'm kicking in. My pledge is already in there. Trust me. And I'm just
right.
Saying to everybody else, I'm saying to the whole Black Nation. And I, you know what I mean? Brother DK, for those who don't know Brother DK, that's our National Minister of Defense who's, you know, in the concentration camp behind bars. He needs your support. So, you know what I mean? As we continue to go over the airways, it would not be right to not mention our comrade Lockdown. It's not
we
right.
We need to mention
to not
him every show because that brother,
straight up.
When y'all, when you meet him, he's the kind of brother that you cannot not have a good time around. And
yeah,
it's clean, good fun. You know, kind of, you ain't no drinking, no smoking, no, just clean. He's just one of those nice. Now, he's serious. Don't get me wrong. Very serious
right.
About his post and his position.
Right.
But he just has that personality that everybody around him is going to feel safe and loved and cared about and protected when you're around him. So Brother DK is a beautiful, beautiful brother. And I'm going to give you back your show. But one of the things that we're going to be talking about Economics 101, and I know Brother Person Kid is he's listening. And one of the things we're going to be talking about on Wednesday show is economics. We're the only people who have never had a revolution, so I guess we really don't know what a revolution costs. We're the only people that have never had a real revolution over here in the hills of North America, and it costs money. We seem to think as though it's going to be free. It ain't free, people. So understand me. Revolutionaries are not supposed to be broke. Black people are not supposed to be broke.
Right.
You ain't supposed to be giving your money to the, you know, you can give it to whomever you want to give it to. Let me digress from that. But you're not supposed to be broken. We're going to be talking about the real cost of revolution, Economics 101, Wednesday, 8 p.m., this Wednesday. You want to keep me on the line or you want me to shut my mouth up?
I mean, nah, you can stay on the line. I mean, the thing is we have to discuss this and we got to talk about this stuff. And like I say, and like the brother Bianchi say, we can talk about free Larry Hoover and free, you know, free Lil Wayne and, you know what I mean? And this cat running around kissing grown men. We can talk about free all them. But yeah, straight up in the mouth, man. But you got to start saying free DK. We got to start saying, you know what I mean? Free Mumia. We got to start talking about, you know what I mean, the MOVE, our family from the MOVE organization that's behind bars. And, you know what I mean? All of our political prisoners, man, we have to not forget about our political prisoners. And if you take it from Brother Sean Kwali, every black man and woman behind bars is a political prisoner because everything is politics. I don't give a damn what they did. If
I'm
going
to have to disagree.
If the system was not corrupt, our people wouldn't be in the condition that they are.
I feel you, brother, but I have a certain problem with certain people behind bars. Now, if you're talking about you messing with little children, politics go out the door.
Let me say this. I ain't saying that people who are molesters and child and, you know, abusers and all that and rapists and, I mean, people who just outright wrong shouldn't have justice. But I'm saying a criminal system cannot prosecute somebody they call a criminal. If the black nation see fit to serve them justice, then that's how
it should go.
I'm trying to tell you. But,
yeah,
but, the criminal justice system cannot prosecute any black man or woman in the hells of North America.
That's right.
I'm trying to tell you. I know they probably need some heat for that, but whatever. You can't prosecute us, and we're not duty bound to even really respect nothing that you're talking about. We only do it because we follow the laws of my art and we believe in justice. But by the laws of my art, for real, because you have acted unjust, we are really justified in not even respecting you. Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
That's right. You hit it on the point. I mean, I guess I have, I do, and I'm not trying to get the show off on something different because we're going to bring it right back around to revolutionaries are not supposed to be broke. I guess I get tunnel vision, and I really don't give a damn what happens to pedophiles and child molesters. You know, hey, you can feed them to, you can grind them up and feed them to your dog for all I give a damn. You know,
yeah,
but
nah, we let me say that we didn't even have this kind of problem. I was
you're right.
I was
you're
I,
right.
I don't know what I don't know where it was at. I was looking at something on the news where a little 19-year-old sister had got snatched off of the sidewalk and raped behind a van, you know, in broad daylight and robbed. This is something that was on the news I seen on the web, and they caught it on camera. You know, so I'm not saying that a person like that shouldn't meet justice. I don't even believe that a person like that should even see, you know what I mean, even see the courtroom. You know what I mean? I'm just y'all
yes.
taking it for what it is.
But see,
I don't
that's
even
black law, and that's what you're talking about. You're talking about black African law. See, like you said, we live in the hills of North America, so therefore we are in Rome, so we're following Roman law. See what I'm saying? So
exactly.
I understand exactly where you're coming from. If we had that strong arm system in place, and the brothers and the elder board in place, where these people, when they are brought to the elder board and they're told of their charges, they get dealt with accordingly.
We did not have these kind of problems in the motherland, man. I mean, because I'm just telling you, they would off you in our original country. It wouldn't be no discussion. You rape somebody, you do something that's out of the laws of my eye, you know what I mean? If they don't see fit to show you mercy, you out of here. It ain't even no question. So every generation knew to act accordingly. And it's like the reason why the situation is going on in America like it is because the criminal justice system is not there to change. It's not there to change. It only houses you, warehouses you, sends you back out to the streets. So I'm just saying, you know, to get back to it, I don't give a damn. We have to have a nation of our own, which
damn
will
right.
again, you know what I mean, which will again come right back to black economics. And point number three of our non-local objectives. Now, like I said, if you're not familiar with the new Black Panther program, get familiar with it because you're going to see it all over the spot. This ain't just a program for people who, you know, have a freedom of death patch over their hearts and consider themselves in the new Black Panther Party. This is the program for every black man and woman in the hells of North America. Let me get that stuff clear. The Panther is not a bunch of people who put on black berets and boots. That ain't what the Panther is all about. The Panther is the people. The Panther is the people. If you're black and you're in North America, in the hells of North America, if you're in South America, if you're
in anywhere in the diaspora,
wherever the hell you at in this struggle, we consider mm-hmm. you a Panther. The original Panther Party said a Panther's born every 5 seconds in the ghetto. All right, so this program is for you. Our point number three on the Panther program is that we want to develop and defend black economic power. It says we struggle
wow.
to promote and develop a black economy. We must control the money that flows into our community. We must own and control the businesses in our community. We struggle for black-owned stores, banks, supermarkets, laundromats, hotels, cab companies, beauty supply shops, retail outlets, restaurants, shopping centers, and the like. We must establish trade with ourselves, our motherland, Africa, and the nations of the earth. We must buy black as often as possible and cease unnecessary spending with non-black-owned businesses. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey's UNIA and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam are two great historical examples of building a black economy. The businesses that currently operate in our community cannot be allowed to exploit the community. We shun exploitation regardless of the race of the exploiter or the community. I'm going to say it one more time. We shun exploitation regardless of the race of the exploiter. We must remove the foreign economic bloodsuckers from our community. We support UJAMA, cooperative economics, and it goes on. But listen now, all that said right there, that's why we're having this discussion, because we have allowed others to manipulate and control what we do with our dollars. I'm telling you, all you got to do is put it in Google, put in subliminal suggestion in Google. I'm going to say it, subliminal suggestion, put it in Google. If you put that in Google, It talks about how they put things into the television, into your radio, into your, you know, into your subconscious that makes you think you're making a voluntary decision and you're not making a straight up voluntary decision. They can put something in a movie, for example, in a frame of the movie and say, you know, buy Coke, you know, buy Pepsi, you know, buy macaroni and cheese, buy Kraft. And you think, okay, to yourself, I want to buy a Coke. I want to get a Pepsi. I want to get a popcorn. I want to get Kraft. And you think you did it on your own, but it was subliminal suggestion. And I'm saying that to say that since we're bombarded 24 hours a day with filth and foolishness and coonery and buffoonery, then we are, because of our subliminal being attacked and really molested, we are now giving our dollars to everything that helps us be coons and buffoons and shines and ham bones, all right? So now, look, we have to deprogram, family. We have to deprogram. That's what Black Power Radio is about. You come here. When you come here, you don't come here to listen to no foolishness. We ain't, you know, going to give you no cut. We ain't going to mix it up and fix it up. We coming here to help ourselves deprogram. All of us have to deprogram. And so that's why we keep it black. We keep it black. We ain't mixing it up. We ain't integrating it. We keeping it black. We keeping it African. We keeping it Black Power. So that we have to, again, laundromats, businesses, banks, all of that is brought on by the control of our own economic dollars.
And if y'all don't think we can do it, if y'all don't think we can do it, like Brother Sean Kwali just said, look at UNIA, look at Nation of Islam. Better yet, look at Rosewood and look at Black Wall Street. We have done it. We have done it before. That's the stock we come from. What's the problem about doing it again? Me and a comrade of mine, we differ on points of view. He says that we have to see more grotesque treatment towards our people for us to collectively give a damn. I say the negative when it comes to that. I feel that we need to see less. We need to turn the TV off. We need to lower the threshold of this numbness that we feel when we see these images, when we become immune to seeing draggings, a black man being dragged 11 miles.
Yeah.
Back some 10-something years ago when, how long ago was it when Brother Bird was dragged?
Man, that was, we're talking early 2000s there.
Okay, so, yeah, we're talking some 10 years ago. We were outraged. We was in an uproar.
I'm sorry, my fault, 98, 99.
Okay, so 12 going on 13 years ago that, you know, he was dragged. We was in an uproar. We were enraged. Anything you could say boo to a black person and we're going off on you, you know? So my thing is we have become so desensitized. People, if you really, really, really want this to happen, like I say, people say, no, sister, don't throw out the TV. Yeah, you can throw it out. You can turn it off, whatever. Get about your economics. I will be getting about mine. If anybody, Brother Person Kid, in the chat room right now, great person to have a conversation with. When it comes to economics, big deals, international trade, big deals. So he's a great teacher. And if you want to learn something, go to him. Keep it black focused. Keep it black power on the frontal lobe of your mind and make it happen. You know? That's all I got to really say. I got to spend some time with hubby.
Okay. Well, you know, go ahead and get booed up then.
Yeah, gotta get booed up.
Get booed up, and we'll continue on. I mean, you dropped it right, and you know, keep blazing them, keep blazing them. We gonna keep it burning. So send hubby our black powers, and we'll get at you. And you want to promote the show one more time? Your next show coming up?
Yes, Economics 101 this Wednesday, 8 p.m. We'll be talking about how us revolutionaries and black people in general think that a revolution is free. So it's basically piggybacking, and I hate saying piggybacking, veggiebacking off of what we're talking about tonight. So it's just basically another follow-up because we need to get, look, freedom ain't free. You're going to pay with blood. You're going to pay with money. You're going to pay with maybe your life. You're going to pay with something. So therefore, if y'all serious about getting free. Economics is a must. Economics 101 this Wednesday, 8 p.m. Be there. Black power.
Black power. Black power. And that's what it is straight up. I mean, it's economics 101, but it's not, I mean, it's obviously not as simple as what people are making it to be, because, hell, we are not giving to ourselves. We'll take another call, 303-809. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Your question or your comment, Black Power.
Hope Tep, this is Brother Al in Denver, Colorado, and I'm the father of Brother Person Kid.
Hey,
and I just enjoy listening to you, young blacks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome to the
show,
brother.
Yes, yes. I tell you, the joy. I'm 75 plus, and just the joy to hear that the young sister and you and what y'all are all about. You know, just hold tip. Sometimes we seniors or old blacks get disenchanted, and we just, excuse my voice, it's just humbling. But when I hear what I'm hearing, and the sister went back in history and brought back some of the trials that we had gone through. In Philadelphia, I had a group known as the Original Slave Singers, and we did what we can do to tell the story. And now I'm listening to you youngsters tell the story. What you've given me is, I cannot extend the joy to you. Just keep on keeping it up. Black power all the way.
Black power. Black power and more black power to you, dear Elder. We thank you for your sacrifices and for the things that you went through to get us right here. I just want to say that to you. We thank you. You say you're in your 70s. To be
75 plus.
You 75 plus. And so that means that you have been through some trials, some ups and some downs. You have struggled.
Oh,
you've seen
brother.
Some things, man.
Brother, I cannot begin to tell you, youngsters, some of the things that I have seen and witnessed. But as my son, Person Kid, would tell you, and as the sister mentioned, you know, we've got to focus on not just the economics in terms of the monetary concept, but the economics of existence as well as that. And what I'm saying there very clearly, young brothers and sisters, is to do the proper stuff with the monetary value that we receive. Unfortunately, we have some of our elements out there of our blood that's acquiring all sorts of wealth, but they're not utilizing it properly. So it's just like wasted. When you accumulate this economics, excuse my voice again, if you receive it, do something very positive with it. And that's, if you will, the PKV of it, a positive comedic vision. What I'm saying is that utilize it properly, blacks, young blacks. Do not waste it, as some of us are doing, you know, with the hip-hop and you name it, nonsensical items, but utilize it in something that's going to advance your existence. That's very important in the whole monetary or economic concept.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's coming from you as our elder, and so I just have to take it straight up like you gave it. So you see us, we're wasting our opportunities. Is that what I'm hearing?
You're hearing it. And I say this, and I hate to be tautologist or redundant, if you will, but I wrote a paper here in Denver, 20, 30 years ago, when we had this, what they quote-unquote called a gang system. I don't even like the terminology. I don't care how. And unfortunately, some of the actions may be egregious and nefarious, but what I'm saying is when you acquire hundreds of thousands of dollars, I don't care what color you're walking around in. You can purchase the way this damn, excuse me, place that the creature has established, and he can call it what he wants. It is such that you can utilize those funds so enormously and beneficial, mm-hmm. rather than to buy bling and nonsensical. If you have two or three right. or 1,000 young blacks in whatever color or division or concept you call yourself, forgive me, but whatever you sold to get this, don't tell me you have $10 million in your caucuses, you know, from your so-called gang, whatever structure you want to call yourself. Don't even call yourself a gang. Call yourself a collective. Take that $10 million. You can go up and down any street. Now, I've extrapolated all across this country in my travels. You can purchase neighborhoods. And rather than young black sisters being out there struggling to find some place to raise a little black heroes, you can purchase some of those houses and those apartment buildings for dirt, and you can put them in there, and you're demonstrating with nation building. That is black power, utilizing this demon's currency. We can do that. The demon did it. He came over with, called himself from Italy, whatever the hell they call themselves, came over with their briefcases full of machine guns, and now he threw them away, and he's using computers. We have more intelligence. We are a creation of We are creation. We are the establishment of this whole existence. We can do even greater. Young blacks, which are out there, I could care less what color or banner you go on. If you've acquired this type of monetary system, utilize it right now while the beast is on his knees. You can go there and purchase neighborhoods. You can purchase black barristers that will defend you in any court system, what they want to call it, a court system in this damn land. You can do much. We can take it over. And you're talking about a senior, 75, if I live for just one or two more years, to see that being done constructively, I could care less what color. I'll go out on the corner and buy whatever the hell you're selling if you do something like that. And then your saints of old and all my saints of old will come up out of the dirt. You will see physically Harry Tubman. You'll see physically Nat Turner. You'll see them saying, praise God. And say, the mighty race has arisen. You can do it. You can do it rather than just throwing those wealth away. I'm sorry to be so loquacious, but young brothers and sisters, you are on the right track.
Hey, dear Elder, I'm not going to cut you off. You telling us what we need to hear. We need to hear everything that you're saying. And I just want to say, on what you said, not we could, but do everything that he just said. Do it.
You know, young brother, praise God for you. What I'm saying, and there are those elements out there that would be just the opposite of what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, stick a pin in this. What I mean by that is they have glorified from their so-called Al Capones and the Boo Boo House. They didn't downgrade them. They show you the movies of the Godfather. They praise them. They even sell you cartoons of them because they looked at what they did. They didn't see that as nefarious behavior. They saw it as nation building. But as soon as we get out there and try to go through the same unfortunate channels that's available and we acquire this, the first thing they want to do is get us to downgrade each other. Oh, look at those pants down backwards and they're just torn away to crack. Bull, excuse my terminology. Shit. You got it that way, and you build this whole damn place on it, battleships and aircraft carriers and all on the same damn thing, and you pray. They, if you go back in history, they even sent one of their demons over there, Lucky Luciana, to Italy and brought him back. And this is the most egregious individual selling drugs and crime and killing, sent him over there, but they praised him. Our young blacks get out there and acquire that. The first thing they tell you is, oh, look down on them. You know, scold them, scan them, and we're like, God, we're so marginalized, we turn on, oh, yes, you youngsters are terrible. Bullshit. Seniors, you messed up when you had your chance. Encourage these youngsters, just turn them around, take what they've acquired, let them buy, purchase, and own. You can own the damn police force. You can own the damn FBI, what you have right now, and run what you want of you. I'm not worried about how long you keep doing it. You also will turn, because the righteousness of what's in us, that whole comedic blood from the sun that has given us this melanin, eventually you will change, and we can rebuild again. I'm telling you, young brother, don't come down on each other. Praise and encourage and do the right thing with what you acquired and own this damn place they call America. Hotep.
Shem Hotep and Black Power. And we thank you. And that's straight up from our elder. That's our brother Person Kidd. That's his start right there. That's his father. We are thankful. And y'all know, y'all heard everything that he said. He's just bearing witness to what we're saying. And I'm glad that the ancestors and the Creator blessed us, you know, to have that balance, because, you know, y'all hear us as, some of you all hear us as the next generation, and you think that we're just spouting off and that we're just talking crazy. Listen, you know, you're hearing it from the elders. We're not talking crazy. We're not, you know, spaced out. We're not far out. We're not off point. We just want to see our people do better. We want to personally do better, but we have to ask the hard questions. We have to ask, you know, what are we doing with our money? Okay, if you have money, how are you using your money? Why is there such a strong divide between those who have money and those who don't have? As we say, the haves and the have-nots. Why is this system, you know, so strongly set up on class like it is? And if it's run like it is, how come our people are not getting a piece of the pie? That's what I'm trying to say. If we are all, as they say, I'm going to say it again, as they say, if we're all brothers and sisters and we are all the same and we all bleed the same, then how come nobody is feeling it the way that black people and the descendants of African slaves are feeling it like we feel it in the hells of North America? We are talking about spending black, buying black. We're talking about establishing trade with ourselves and our motherland. You know, you know, listen, let me say this. Right? I mean, it just excites me, but I have to, you know, break it down like this. Do y'all know that the things that they're trading and buying right now in terms of shoes and all of that comes from my motherland. It's cheap. All that stuff over there is cheap. You can get it for cheap, establish trade over there, come right over here in this greedy society and make yourself some money. But you don't have to pimp your people to do it. I'm just saying, you don't have to pimp your people to be, you know, in a good station in life. You don't have to do that. If the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey had steamlined ships in the early 1900s, I mean, I'm just trying to tell y'all something. Steamlined ships, a military, land, and all kind of stuff rolling in the early 1900s. You know, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, factories, you know, bakeries. You know what I mean? All kind of stuff. I mean, hospitals, banks. I mean, all this stuff was put together by the hands of blacks. You had Black Wall Street. You had all kind of examples that our people had. And now you look at us now in 2010, as they say, we are some of the wealthiest slaves anywhere in history. We have so much money flowing throughout our community. But damn, you really can't tell. You could not tell that there's all this money running through the black community by looking at the way that we're behaving and looking at the way that we, you know, are dealing with our economic situation. You know, in our point number three, in our point number three, it says that we must remove the economic foreign bloodsuckers. We must remove the foreign economic bloodsuckers from our community. You got to, man, listen. If you know, now I'm just trying to, I'm going to give us some backdrop. If you know that the Arab, the Arab, for example, I'm just using it as an example. If the Arab is selling bad food to your people, why in the hell would you, as a black nationalist, a Pan-Africanist, a revolutionary, why in the hell would you continue to support the Arab who is selling bad food to your people in the community? I mean, somebody please help me understand. If you know that, you know, like, I'll give you an example. I was at a store one time, and, you know, it was some Arabs that ran the store, and they had these little pipes. I don't know if y'all have them in y'all cities, but in our city, they some of these stores, they have little bitty pipes that you know, that's only in the black community, kind of look like crack pipes. And so I confronted the Arab in the store. I said, you selling my people crack pipes. You are perpetuating the crack problem and epidemic in our community. And so we moved on the store in a righteous way, in an organized fashion, to have the damn crack pipes taken out of the store. In some of the Krogers that I went to in the black communities, the lettuce and the tomatoes and the fruits and the vegetables was rotten. They were spoiled. Some of the, you know, the canned goods was expired. The milk was bad. I mean, and you didn't see none of this stuff. You didn't see none of this stuff in the affluent neighborhoods or the white neighborhoods. This was only stuff that I saw and that we saw in the black neighborhoods. And so we confronted, you know, the managerial staff. We confronted the people that, you know, was trying to get a hold of the distribution people, all kind of stuff. I mean, there's things that you can do. The point is that if you know for a fact, and every black community has them, and we're talking regardless of the race. I'm saying even if it's a black exploit. So I want y'all to hear me good. If it's a black exploiter in your community and the black man is exploiting the community, then you have to righteously remove the exploitation for the good of the black community. If it's an Arab or Arab, you got to remove the Arab or the Arab for the good of the black community. A Chinese, you got to move and remove the exploitation for the good of the black community. It's about the black community. It's about us. And if you are going to exist as a store or an economic industry in our community, then you must do right and do good by our community. And I ain't just talking no rhetoric. I'm not talking about we just own Black Power Radio talking, and we're going to hang up and do nothing. I'm talking about in our cities, we should be seeing, you know, what the hell is going on in our neighborhoods. You know, you should be looking at, and we should be looking at what the hell is being consumed in our children's mouths and in our people's bodies and existence. You should be looking at, you know, what is going on and, you know, how many black businesses are being supported in the community. Do we even know how many black businesses are in our own community? Are we guilty of going past some of the black businesses because we think that the white man's ice is colder? I mean, come on, y'all. Look, we have to do better by our own dollar. Like I said earlier, our dollar keeps recycling. You know, our dollar, pardon me, should keep recycling to the point that no white hand touches. You know, it should keep going back to black. But our dollar only circles or circulates in our community only once. And if we are willing to go, I'm just, you know, using this as an example, to the beauty supply shops run by the Korean, you know, if we, and you know sometimes you go in them shops and you know they talking bad about you because you know you don't know how to speak Korean, most of us, you know. If you're willing to go to the Arab store and you know that they're selling you all kinds of alcohol, selling you cigarettes, and they're supposed to be Muslims, they're selling you pork and all kind of stuff, you know what I mean? If you know these people are exploiting you, you know that the Jews and others are exploiting us in our community, if you know there are exploiters in your community as a revolutionary who, you know, again, is supposed to uproot, overturn, and produce complete constructive change, then it is your duty. You are duty-bound, and we are duty-bound to make a difference in our neighborhoods and in our communities. Now, that's where we talk about black power, because, again, the definition of black power is to define, develop, and defend. To define, develop, and defend what is in the best interest of the black community. So we have defined now. You know, we have defined that we don't want to be black capitalists. I mean, that's definite. We don't want to be black capitalists. We recognize capitalism has not helped the condition of the deaf, the dumb, and the blind black man and woman. We recognize this. We recognize that we don't want to be exploiters in our own communities and in our neighborhoods. We don't, because everybody is robbing us and exploiting us. So we don't want to, you know, produce, we don't want to put one system in place of another system and it be the same system. Y'all dig what I'm saying? We don't want to do that. So we have defined it. And so now we have to develop. And if it's already developed, then we just got to spread it amongst the different cities. We have to develop and to defend, because y'all got to understand that once you remove the Arab from power of exploiting the community, once you remove the Chinese, once you remove the Latino, Hispanic, or once you remove the black man or woman who's exploiting the community, then hell, they're going to have to try to respond to you some kind of way. That's how they're making their bread and butter. I want y'all to understand. They're making their bread and butter. They're making their living off of exploitation. And so they're not going to like what we are proposing. I want y'all to know they're not going to like the fact that we are trying, and not trying, that we are putting pressure on them to drive them out of the black community for exploitation. And so, as General George Jackson say, in talking about the state, that the state always has to respond. You know what I mean? The state always has to respond to acts of aggression by the revolutionaries. So, hell, it's the same thing in this instance, that the exploiter or the capitalist, the black capitalist or whatever color, the capitalist must respond. So they will respond. They might try to slander you. They might try to get you busted by the pigs, whatever happens. But you got to be prepared that it's for the good of the black community. I'll take another call here. The lines are lighting up. Y'all must be feeling it. So let's go to it. 862-252. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or your comment?
Hotel
Black Power.
This Black,
Hotel.
Black Power. This is Brother Dashaun, D.C. chapter.
Hey, Black Power, bro, what's going on with you?
Fine. Family, I wanted to say, me personally, I don't believe that there's anything wrong with us as revolutionaries and scholars living well, as so long as we don't do so at the expense of our own people. And I caution us in our quest or in our aspirations to live well and to make money, to make sure that we don't practice, and you mentioned it, what Tony Brown actually encouraged us to practice years ago, and that's black capitalism.
Right.
If we claim to be African-centered, we have to, in the new Black Panther Party, we always say we follow the traditions of our ancestors. Our ancestors practiced communalism, which is where Karl Marx and them, of course, got communism. They studied our history. And in communalism, it teaches that everyone advances when everyone contributes to the pot. Now, for those who actually criticize revolutionaries within our circle for living well, you actually have fools that criticize our national chairman because of the fact that he's an attorney and he lives relatively comfortably. I remember people used to criticize attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz for driving a Hummer that he bought with his own money that he got from working as an attorney. But if there's one man in our community who doesn't front about being conscious and a revolutionary and lives well, is Minister Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan will let you know, I live well, and damn it, I deserve to live good. He'll tell you that. So if you think there's anything wrong with being conscious of being a revolutionary, just, you know, study Minister Farrakhan, but also study throughout our history. And Sister Fasemi had hit the nail on the head when she stated that we come from a history of people decked in gold and silver.
That's right.
And that's my final statement, Hotep family.
Hey, Shem Hotep and Black Power, and I mean, everything that you say, everything that the brother has said, I mean, is right on point. I mean, we're not criticizing anybody. This is just for those that may have took it that way. We're not criticizing anybody if you live in comfortable, if you rolling good and all that. We're not criticizing. What we're talking about is, what are we doing with our monies? We're saying that, okay, if you have the money, if you are comfortable, if you're living, you know, beyond the, you know, the conditions of the average black man and black woman in the hills of North America, we are saying that you have a duty to give back to black. You have a duty. If you have and somebody else don't have, you have a duty to give what the other person don't have. I mean, that's just common sense. That is what we have done for ages. And see what's happening now, and what is so sad now is that you have so many people with so much. I mean, like we talked about a few weeks ago, you know, our brother, you know, LeBron James, who maybe even be listening. We hope you're listening. You know, signed a $30 million contract. You know what I mean? $30 million. $30-plus million dollars of a contract just to throw a ball through a hoop. Now, can you imagine the kind of effect this man can have if he just donated, tell, $2 million? To, you know, a group like the New Black Panther Party or a revolutionary group that's out here, whoever that's out here, you know, putting these programs together and active in the streets when somebody, you know, is affected by brutality and somebody's raped and, you know, all the things that's going on. Can you imagine the effect and the things that we and others can do if we just had a budget like that and just had some operating expenses, you know, and even in talking about, you know, our NASA chairman, which the brother brought up. I mean, this is a man, I want y'all to know, family, yeah, he got a Hummer or whatever he got, but hell, this man finances most of what happens. You know, when you talk about what's going on with New Black Panther Party, this man peels out of his own pockets. I'm going to say it again. He peels out of his own pockets to make sure that the New Black Panther Party and the name of the Panther exists throughout the hills of North America. He don't have no corporate sponsorship. He ain't supported by no Coca-Cola. He ain't supported by no Colgate. He ain't supported by no Yum Brands. He ain't supported by none of that stuff. He is supported by black people, and he's supported by the sweat of his own brow. You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of example. You know what I mean? That's the kind of example that you want. I mean, I've seen this man max out. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to give y'all something. He has maxed out. And he ain't going to tell you he'd be maxed out, but he'd be given. NASA Chief of Staff, Hashim Mazinga, be maxed out, be given. I mean, New Black Panther Party, who ain't even, you know what I mean, on that kind of level. We be given. You know what I mean? We get there. But if it's something that's going on, we get on Greyhound. I ain't going to tell you all this stuff, but hell, we gets there. You know what I mean? And we gets back. And I'm just saying that, you know what I mean, for us to lead the people properly, we have to do what we have to do with our finances in the correct way. If you give to the revolutionary movement, you're not going to starve, family. You ain't going to starve. If you believe in a higher being, or whether you don't believe in a higher being, just the laws of Mayat and reciprocity, if you give, you will receive. So if you give in this cause, straight up, if you give and you give cheerfully and you give happily, then, I mean, it's going to come back to you. And we're not just talking monetary, but I'm just saying for the point of discussion that we have to talk to some degree monetary, because the white man is getting too much of our black dollars. The white man is getting too much of our money. And especially if we have vices, and, you know, all of us, you know, may have sins or whatever you want to call it, but I'm just saying if you got vices or whatnot, you know what I mean, that's monies that we spend. Just think if I don't even know how much a lot of that stuff costs, but if you just save $6 every time or whatever, if you just save it, can you imagine the monies that you would have within a year or two? You know what I mean? So you know, the enemy understands mathematics, man. The enemy understands numbers, and we have to begin to understand numbers and understand what it means to save. And if you know that America is falling, and most of us believe and know and can tell America is falling, then, hell, you got to know that while the dollar has some kind of value, buy up some land. While the dollar has some kind of value, buy up some property. They got property for cheap all throughout the black community. You can get it for $1, $2. Go get the property that the city don't want. Every city in America has property that the local government don't want, that the local state don't want. Go buy it. You can get it for cheap. It don't cost that much to fix it up. You know what I mean? Get you some houses on it or whatever you got to do. Get in, buy it up, put your people in there, open the floodgates. Why are we making this thing so hard? Why are we making it so hard? You know what I'm saying? And that's why we drew your attention to the UNIA. We draw your attention to, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam. We draw your attention to Black Wall Street. We draw your attention because, hell, people in the past had gas stations. I'm talking about people in the past had banks. Our people had hospitals. Our people had nice restaurants. Y'all hear me? We had laundromats. We were the ones who was doing our own hair. We was doing whatever was needed, our own laundry, whatever. We was doing it. And so now we are so comfortable. You know, Minister Malcolm X always, you know, quote the Minister Malcolm X, he talked about it, and Minister Farrakhan also bear witness to it. You know, since the brother mentioned Minister Farrakhan, he bore witness to it. You know, that hell, we've been Novocaine to sleep. You know what I mean? We are suffering silently, you know, and all of this is happening to us, and there's not a large enough outcry to where it really makes much of a difference. It's to the point to where, you know, you had a new Black Panther Party over in this pocket, you had this group over in that pocket, you had this other group over in that pocket, and all of us are screaming, you know what I mean, because we see what's going on from our own little silent pockets, and we don't have time to be in a pocket. We don't have time to be in a pocket. Now is the time to consolidate our forces and be one nation. A couple of shows ago, Sister Fasami had a guest on. They was talking about how, you know, how the white nationalists and how the white extremists were consolidating all their forces. How you know, the white supremacists, the white power people, they were, you know, they're consolidating their forces to where the Aryans, the KKK, and all of them is coming together, you know, to be one little happy, I guess, white power thing, right? You know, so, I mean, hell, let's why not? Why would we beef and bicker with each other over little petty differences or whatever we consider to be ideological squabbles? Why would we bicker and beef over that? And your open enemy is straight up joining together, joining ranks, closing ranks to move on your black behind. Why are we bickering and beefing with each other over ideological differences? Or I can't roll with this one because of what this one did in 1985, and I can't roll with this one because I don't like the way this one's hair looks, and I can't roll with this one because this one, you know, it says black power, this one says assalamu alaikum, this one says Hotep, this one just say peace, this one say God, well, this one say Jehovah, well, this one say Allah, this one say revolution, well, this one say resurrection, well, this one, I mean, come on, family, we tripping, straight up, we tripping, we are straight up flipping and tripping. All right, and we need to stop fronting. I'm just saying, we got to just make it to the point to where the only thing we're talking about is revolution. The only thing that's on the agenda is revolution. Only thing that's on the menu is revolution. The only thing that you're going to eat, sleep, and defecate should be revolution. The banner of revolution, the banner of black power, the banner of black nationalism, the banner of Pan-Africanism is broad enough to support everybody's ideology, and it's broad enough to support you if you don't believe in nothing. If you're just black and you want to fight, it's broad enough to support you. We have to stop flipping and tripping. And that's what I'm saying is when you get off of this radio show, you're going to have to make a decision, and we got to make a decision on what we going to start doing with our monies and what we going to start doing with our time, what you going to start giving to. You know what I mean? If you get off this radio show and you the same way tomorrow, then, you know, I mean, really, you know, that's on you. But if you wise and you are paying attention to what's being said and our elders bearing witness and the brother coming on, Sister Fasani coming on, and bearing witness, man, you know what I mean? Then you can hear it. I mean, it's in the air. Can y'all see what's going on? I just want to point out something to y'all. That, look, check this out. And I'm not trying to make this a religious show. I just want to show you something. You had a pastor down in Florida who you know, he was talking about burning up, you know, the religious book of Muslims, the Quran, and just on the fact of him even making the assertion and making the threat that he was going to burn up the Quran, that united the whole Muslim world and pulled together Muslims all around the world on the basis of their holy book. You understand what I'm saying? On the basis of the holy book of Muslims, the Quran, it pulled them all together. All the Muslims pulled every Muslim together just on that basis, because he said that he was going to burn. He didn't even burn one. He just said he was. And so what I'm saying is we are in this situation for over 400 years. Over 400 years, and that ain't enough to pull your revolutionary black behind together? That ain't enough? 400 years of oppression, 500 years of suffering? Huh? That ain't enough? Our sisters getting raped, we losing generations, we losing our babies to the streets. Babies rather be in gangs. You know, babies being mentored by homosexuals and faggots like Lil Wayne and others. And that ain't enough to pull them together, to pull us together? That ain't enough? Come on. What are we waiting on? We must be waiting on a court order. We got to be waiting on the white man to sanction black power and black revolution and say it's okay now. Now you can be a revolutionary. I think that, for real, some of us are waiting on the white man to come across the news, come across CBS, come across ABC, and say to some of our black behinds, okay, you can be a revolutionary now. You can be a warrior now. You can fight for your people now. It's okay. And I guarantee you, if the white man came across the screen and said to some of us, it's okay, now you can fight, the very next day, I'd be getting all kind of applications for the new Black Panther Party and all kind of black power movement stuff because the white man said so. Look, the white man is not going to endorse your freedom. I'm going to say it again. The white man is not going to endorse or sponsor your liberation. They're not. They're not ever going to give you that which is going to free you, because it works against their own interests. Teaching us about how to spend our money, what to do with our dollars, that goes against the white power structure. They bank on our ignorance. They bank on us being deaf, dumb, and blind. I'm telling y'all real. They have board meetings, corporate board meetings about blacks and how they can capitalize off of black people and what's the newest trend in the black nation. They have, you know, people that are in certain segments of the Jewish community and other communities that go throughout, you know, black neighborhoods and look at what's on the ground. They'll see the litter. They'll see the, you know, the beer cans. They'll see what's on the ground. And based upon what's on the ground in the black community, that's what they put their money in, family. You got to see the game. You got to see what's going on. They are banking on us remaining ignorant. The whole purpose of Willie Lynch, whether you think that Willie Lynch existed or whether you think Willie Lynch didn't exist, is irrelevant to me. Because everything that Willie Lynch said in the Willie Lynch instructions in his letter, we facing it right now. So whether he was a real man or wasn't a real man, the effects of whatever that program was is very much alive. And so they, you know, Willie Lynch banked on us being ignorant, dumb, blind, you know what I mean, beefing on petty differences. He banked on us not trusting each other, the women not trusting the men not trusting the women, us not being trustworthy, not wanting to spend monies amongst ourselves. And he promoted, you know, distrust and discord between the slaves. It helped to make us better slaves. When you can't trust your own people and you trust other people, it helps to make you a slave. If you, you know, are not sick of being a slave, then keep doing the same thing that you're doing. We got to keep, if you want to be a slave, we want to be slaves, we got to keep doing the same thing that we're doing right now. Just keep on going, keep on living, and keep on breathing, and don't change nothing. Because you know, you're happy being a slave. We are a nation of slaves. And when you are enslaved, everything that you do is from the position and the function of a slave. When you are enslaved, when you're colonized, everything that we do comes from a position of slavery and colonization. Every thought that we have, every action that we make, every breath that we breathe, every time that we blink, every time we grow hair, every time we do anything, it comes from the position and condition of a slave. Everything, all the food that we eat, everything that we drink, everything that we buy, everything that we own, whatever it is, when you're not working for freedom and not working towards your own independence, you only help to perpetuate your people and yourself being a slave. And so, hell, let me take a call on that. 317-603, you're on the air, Black Power Radio. Your question or comment, Black Power.
No, this is, I was basically listening to the show. This is my first time, and
Welcome.
I agree with everything you're saying.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And what would you say? What would you say to the listener audience real quick, you know, on what we should do with our monies?
Basically, try to help the Black community. You say, like, example, it was a big old fire in my mother and auntie complex a couple of days ago, and the insurance people talking about it's going to be like 90 days before basically she get her settlement.
Mm-hmm.
So we gathering up the funds or, you know, doing everything we can try to help my auntie up. But the apartment people gave her another apartment. But if you paying all this money to the insurance people, I'm sorry, it's like going off, you know, the topic of your show.
Well, it might be on the topic. Let's hear you out. Go ahead.
And it takes that long to get an insurance check?
What you think happened?
I mean, and then you know what? The thing is, after that, the next day, I had, like, a flood in my apartment, and we,
right.
like, doing different insurance people. My insurance people work faster than her insurance people. And
well,
she had a fire, and the building completely burnt down.
Right.
I mean, not to be racial or whatever, I mean, it wasn't none but white people out there. I did not see not one Black person out there.
Well, that's the whole point, sister. The whole point is that everything that we do, we do it as slaves. We're in a position of servitude, and we're not in control of our own destinies. And so, even something like, you know, what we would presume as simple as insurance, that still supports, you know, the white power structure. And the reason why, I'm going to say this, the reason why it probably took so long was because they told y'all that they had to process and they had to do all this red tape and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about private interests and corporate interests. And they have to line their pockets and make sure that they got their cut before they kick something back before you can fix your home. That's the bottom line.
And then on top of that, after I notified my insurance people took care of me, but the apartment people wearing masks, you know, they're responsible for, like, the walls and, you know, the carpet and stuff like that. They came out twice to do my carpet. Do you know that my carpet, I mean, I wouldn't even think about probably even have a guest in my house because the smell is so bad. And they told me that they would have professionals coming out to do the carpet. And when I had, like, a good friend come out and do the carpet, do the deal, I don't have no type of smell.
Well, I tell you what you do, and I want to keep on moving. What you do is you email us. Email us at NBPPHQ. NBPPHQ. Like headquarters. At yahoo.com. NBPP, that stands for New Black Panther Party. NBPP. HQ. For headquarters at yahoo.com and send me an email, Sean Kwali, and we can see what we can do to help the situation if we can. Is that fair?
I mean, it's like so bad. I'm sorry to get off like the topic you're talking about, but I'm
right
tired. Like, if I don't pay my rent or something, you know what I'm saying? They're going to, next thing you know, it's a eviction notice.
Oh, yeah,
but
always.
I had to
always
live here, like, with a huge, humongous smell. No, that's not good.
And that's what we're talking about. And, sister, we'll stop right there because I want to get on. But, like I say, email me. You got that email, right?
Okay. No.
Did you get it? NBPP.
No, wait a minute. I'm good opinion because I'm new at this. I'm sorry.
Bear with the sister family. She's trying to get some black justice from the black show.
And then that's the problem they hate.
Take the email. Take the email. We don't want to hold the show up, but just take the email.
Okay,
from
what is it?
All right, it's N B P P N B P P
N E B P
N B P P HQ.
HQ.
At yahoo.com.
At yahoo.com.
Yes, ma'am. And you email me at Sean Kwali. All right?
Okay.
All right. Black Power, sister. Huh?
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you, Queen. Black Power to you. Thank you for your comment. And that's just an example. This is why we're saying that we have to control the economic condition of the black community. If we had brothers and sisters who were hell-bent, and I hate to use that term, but, I mean, it's the English language, they were, you know, on point with wanting justice and freedom for our people, then you would not have our people living in decadent conditions, in slum housing. You wouldn't have our people, you know, living in rat-infested, roach-infested, you know what I mean, homes and the ceiling falling in and asbestos in the walls and, you know what I mean, all the things that are happening to us that we, you know, really, for the most part, you know, ignore. You know, our people, you know, on a massive level, we so used to living in poverty that we, you know, a lot of times think that that's the hood life. That's the way, you know, that's the way that it goes in the hood. No, hell no. We the only people who think like that. We are the only people who glorify our poverty. We the only people that glorify our slavery. We the only people that, you know, don't fight back when the conditions are against us. We are the only people that don't fight back against our resistors. And so I'm telling you, I'm giving you the rally cry. I mean, I'm not trying to make myself no big of a head. You're giving yourself the rally cry. Hell, fight back in a righteous manner however you can. Fight back in a righteous manner by every exact means and right means however you can to get yourself some freedom, justice, and equality. Begin to spend with black people. Go out of your way to find a black store that you can support. Go out of your way, which is really in your way. Go in your way to support black. Stop driving past black. Stop talking about, oh, it's too high in there. The prices are too high. Oh, stop. You know why the prices are too high? Because they have to compete with the white folks, man. Brothers and sisters, they have to compete with the white folks, and the white folks is operating off of the system of capitalism to where they're good, they're robbing the resources of Africa, bringing it back to America, and selling you overpriced goods from your own homeland. Everything that they have comes from the motherland. I don't care where it comes from. It comes from our original land. We are the original landowners, the landlords of all of this. Everything they got is stolen goods. They take you to court and talk about anything over a certain amount is considered theft and, you know, theft by deception and all this. But, hell, they stole you and stole me as a people. Then stole the damn land, stole the resources, and then they sell it back to you at an overpriced, overhyped price. All right, so I'm saying that to say go in your way to support black. Make it a point today to support somebody's black business. Make friends with the black business owners in the community. Make sure they know your name. Make sure you become a regular customer in their business if you don't have your own business. If you don't have your own business, begin to make a plan to produce your own business. We cannot work for white folks for the rest of our lives. You cannot work for the white man for the rest of your life and consider yourself free. It's going to be a contradiction. Yeah, you got to have people on the inside, blah, 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 all that. I get it. But I'm still saying that somewhere along the line, you're going to have to, you know what I mean, be handcuffed because you're controlled and working for the enemy. We're working for the enemy. So at a certain point, you got to do like the slaves, you know, our ancestors used to do. You got to think about stealing away, getting away. You got to, you know, peep the way that it's being done on your job and figure out a way you can do it for yourself. If, you know, if the white man will go to the cow and the cow will get a white man milk, the cow will give you milk too. If the white man could put a seed in the ground and it produce, and when you put your seed in the ground, because everything, you know, in nature operates off of the law of righteousness and justice, then hell, the seed going to produce for you too. The white man ain't got no better seed than what the black man and woman got. We just ain't planting the crops, and we ain't supporting the black farmers. We ain't supporting those that got land already. So I'm saying we got to link this thing up. We don't have time to play around. We don't got time to sit around and, you know what I mean, watch Waka Flocka make a fool out of himself, a Soldier Boy make a fool out of himself. We ain't got time to watch these Negroes on TV make fools out of themselves and laugh when ain't nothing funny, when the programming that you're watching 9 times out of 10 was produced by some, you know, white corporate boardroom, and they studied us and said, oh, this is what the black folks is going to find funny. I'm trying to tell y'all, you got a deep program. We got a deep program. We got to begin to do better by ourselves, do better by our people. And this, again, is not rhetoric. I'm talking about we're talking straight-up action, a straight-up action plan that we must put in place in our own cities, first starting with our own lives. We have to first start with your own life. You cannot have a worldwide revolution if you don't have a personal revolution first. Don't come talking to me about you're going to change the world and have a worldwide, international, pan-African revolution and you are not manifesting a personal revolution in your own life. Revolution starts within your own mind first. Dr. Huey P. Newton, our comrade, Minister of Defense of the Black Panther Party, Huey P. Newton said that if he could only move one grain of sand in a righteous manner, he'd say he was satisfied. And I'm telling y'all that one grain of sand also represents your own personal life, your own personal condition. If our national chairman comes and says, look, brother, look, sister, he said 2 weeks ago that he wanted to put $1 million budget together for the new Black Panther Party. He said he wanted $1 million budget for the new Black Panther Party. And if he say he want $1 million budget, man, it shouldn't be nothing but, you know, a few of us getting together, putting our little hundreds and stuff together, and he got $1 million budget to operate, to work, to build a black nation. It ain't like, you know what I mean, you think he going to go blow the money and you see him up on the Playboy ranch somewhere with old Wrinkle Crinkle Hugh Hefner. This man is plotting for the liberation and salvation of black people. All right, so I'm just saying that on his behalf. He wanted $1 million budget, and we're going to make it our business to get that for him and to get it for ourselves, for the black nation, period. We need to do for self. Do for self. You will not find solace on the white man's job forever. The white folks don't even have jobs for themselves now. Y'all hear me? The white man and woman barely have work for themselves. Unemployment, man, is really at an all-time high in America. Unemployment lines full all across America. Full all across America because everything that was normally given to black people has been outsourced. It's been outsourced overseas for cheaper labor. And if it hasn't been outsourced, it's been replaced by mechanical means and by computerized means to where now they don't even need your black behind no more. It used to be a time you would call, you know, customer service or something, and somebody would answer right up, and they'd say, hey, how can I help you today? You call most of customer services now, and a computer answers the phone. A computer tells you push one. Put in your number. Do you want to check your account? Do you want to do this? Do you want? It's a computer. We're being replaced, and you've been replaced by the computers, or your work has been outsourced. You can't even righteously blame it on the Mexicans. Some of us say the Mexicans taking all the jobs. Hey, wasn't even no jobs in the first damn place. The Mexican took the bottom of the bottom just to do whatever the Mexicans doing. So we can't even righteously blame it on them. We gotta, you know, like the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad say, you have to pin the tail on not the donkey. You gotta pin the tail on the racist honky. And I'm telling y'all straight, we must begin to do for ourselves. It is not okay to be revolutionary and be broke. It's not okay for the new Black Panther Party listening. It's not okay to be a revolutionary in this organization and be broke. It's not okay to be in the Nation of Islam and be broke. It's not okay to be in the RBG movement and be broke. It's not okay to be in the Black Power Cartel and be broke. It's not okay to be in nothing and be damn broke. It ain't okay, no, if you ain't in nothing, it ain't okay. You have to be able to provide for your family. We got to be able to provide for ourselves. Hell, even the lion, and the lion has got enough sense to go out and go on the hunt. Hell, really, to be truthful, the lioness, many times in the hunt, is more fierce than the actual lion himself. That lioness, when she get on the prowl, when she get on the hunt for her babies, man, she's ferocious, man. And, I mean, not to mention the lion, when they out on that hunt, brothers and sisters, they are some serious, serious, serious animals. And I'm just saying as a sign in nature, I'm just saying we got to get on the prowl for black power. We got to get on the hunt for black power. If you ain't thinking on a daily and consistent basis about building up black power, you don't need to be breathing this black power air that's going on. I'm telling you straight, you don't even need to be around the planet because there's a change that the song said, there's a change that's coming. It ain't going to come. The change is here now. The change is already in motion. If you can't see it, turn on the news. Turn on the news. Keep up with the international thing that's going on. Yeah, the darker world is coming together, all the way together, in a real pan-African way. And you read about now, they putting charges on our Somalian brothers and sisters and calling the Somalian brothers and sisters pirates. But you know who in the hell was the real pirate? We ain't even got to talk about the modern-day pirate. You can go all the way back to 1555 and talk about John Hawkins, one of the pirates. You can talk about Christopher Columbus, one of the pirates. You can talk about plenty of them who were pirates, who stole, who raped, and who pillaged to get, you know, more for their own power structure. They are Somalian brothers and sisters ain't pirates. Them is revolutionaries. You a damn fool if you call our Somalian brothers and sisters pirates in, you know, the way that the white man calls our Somalian brothers and sisters pirates. They are dealing under embargo. They're dealing under trade restrictions. They're dealing under U.S. imperialism, and so they're not able many times to get the necessary resources needed for survival. And so them brave warriors go out there on boats and they take cargo that's necessary that has been taken from them to feed their families. Now, I'm saying, here we are, big and bad, and, you know, black power this and wonty-wont, but we ain't on no boats getting what's ours. I'm just saying, we ain't on the ground saying, look, Procter & Gamble or whoever, this is our land. You know what I mean? You know, we have to, again, as the program say, you have to remove the exploiter from the community. In our history, as we wrap this whole thing up in this last 10 minutes, and we thank you for your time, but listen, in our history, we ran the white man into the caves and hillsides of Europe. I'm going to say that again. We drove them. We didn't ask them, do you want to go to the caves and hillsides of America? I mean, of Europe, pardon me. We didn't ask them, do you want to go? Do you want to get a ticket? We didn't do that. We drove their pale behinds into the caves and hillsides of Europe when they were making trouble. We drove them. We drove the, you know, as many as we could round up and find, our people in a revolutionary manner drove them across the hot sands. You want to talk about masonry? That's why they do that. They do that little ritual about walking across the sands, because they understand their people was driven. They were driven across the sands, forced across the sands for making trouble. We drove them out when they exploited the community, caused lies, mischief, deceit, and murder, drove their pale faces out of our holy lands and our holy temples and our holy areas, drove them out in a revolutionary fashion, took heads and everything in a revolutionary fashion. And so if our people were strong enough to take, you know, that kind of stance back in the day, I'm saying back in the day before, you know what I mean, what you call, I don't call it, but what you call and what many call the modern marvels of the internet and TV and all that type of stuff, then, I mean, you, hell, again, there's a sign for the wise. In a revolutionary fashion, they drove them across the sands. And so here we are now. We ain't on no sands. You know, we ain't necessarily in our motherland, but we're here in the concrete jungles of North America, and it's exploitation going on all throughout North America. Hell, you know damn well that the U.S. imperialists put the crack cocaine in our community, put the dope in our community, put the guns in our community, and you got brothers and sisters that's trying to survive, and they pimp in our community, but you a revolutionary, and you scared to go to the so-called dope boy and break down to the dope boy or dope girl how they exploiting the community? It don't make no sense. It doesn't make sense. You scared to go talk to them or give them a program or give them a way, you know what I mean, to get up out of that life? If you ask most of our people, they don't want to be in that life. Most of our people don't really want to take the penitentiary chances unless they just damn fools. They don't want to do that. But many of them, you know, they're what you call the, you know, unemployable. You know what I mean? Many of our people are catching felonies. They got the three strikes law going on. And so, you know, as soon as you catch felony, they're not even trying to hire you on the white job. Anyway, they ain't even trying to look at you. So, you know what I mean? Again, you know, it's all about survival. Our people are trying to survive. I'm saying that to say, family, that if you are going to be a revolutionary, you got to be able to stomach this, and you got to be able to know what to do with your finances. When you get your paycheck, if you're working on the white man's job, when you get your paycheck, put something to the side for black revolution. If you know people with money, you mean connect them to black power, connect them to black movement, connect them to African-centered realities. Many of these people are controlled. They can't get off into the, you know, into the movement like they would regularly get off into the movement. They control. But if you tell them, hell, put me $2,000 in a bag and leave it by the door and I won't say nothing, hell, many of them would do that. Many of them would do that. Go to them. Go to the store, the Arabs and the Chinese, and tell them, look, we want to build community centers for our youth. We need a couple, you know what I mean, hundreds or thousands, and we need that because you're selling our people bad food. See how fast they peel. And if you don't peel, we gonna boycott and put so much pressure on your store that the people won't come into your store. See how fast they peel. Go to them dope boys and let the dope boys know, look, we need you to put some positive programs in the community since you already got money from exploiting our people. Go to them and tell them, look, we need you to put some righteous things in the community that ain't got no dirt on it. We need you to set up safe zones in the community so where our people can play, our babies can play, our seniors can walk the streets at night. We got to start talking damn strong, man, and stop letting these faggots like Lil Wayne and these other faggots talk and lead our people. That's why it was so good to hear from, you know, we call him Dr. Lou Gossett Jr. It was so good to hear
a month or so back from the president of Rap-A-Lot Records, Jay Prince. It was good to let y'all hear that. We got more coming because you're going to hear how the industry really, on certain levels, wants to help black power. We are destined, and we our drive is to connect you with those who want to help you in your cities. But if you ain't ready to receive it and you ain't willing to step up and be on the forefront and be counted, then we can't kick the resource to you, and you're not going to know what to do with your black dollar. You're still going to be acting like a slave. And so I really hope tonight, family, that the message was clear in these last five. I hope that this message is clear that, yeah, you're making your money. You gotta feed your family. You got to eat. You got to survive and all this and all of that. But we have to do better by what we do with our money. We are wasting our money, and more importantly than wasting our monies, we're wasting time. We're wasting time. Wasting time doing that which leads us to an early death, doing that which keeps us in a position of servitude, wasting time doing that which does not benefit our next and future generations. Everything that our enemy did, and I'm going to kick you some real black ballistics, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad say, everything that our enemy did in the past to us today was for their future generations. Everything that they did to us, all the brutality, all the murder that they did and that they're doing to us, it is for their future generations. What are we going to do for our babies? I'm talking about the babies that's in the streets right now. Them ain't just basket cases that have lost their minds. Them are our babies that have went haywire because of the way that this white power structure has, reared our children. And because many of the parents are absentee parents, the father in most cases not in the homes, the mother doesn't, know how to, really properly put her foot down and put her role in the society like she used to back in the day, because we have been brainwashed with white supremacy. So I'm saying, what are we as a nation going to do for our babies and our people? What are we going to do to turn around what the hell is going on in our neighborhoods, in our societies? As I speak right now, there's shots going off in somebody's neighborhood in the black community. Somebody's being exploited right now in the black community. Somebody's being robbed. There's home invasions going on. There's police brutality going on. It's all kind of madness and savagery going on right now in the black community, not alone, but particularly in the black community right now, as we speak right now on Black Power Radio. And we must begin, as we convene each week, we must begin to ask ourselves the question, what am I going to do once I get off of this line? What am I going to do once this broadcast ends? What am I going to do to make a difference, to save our future generations, to stop the hell that our people have been going through for the past 400 years? 400 years, our people have been doing the same thing over and over and over again, and now we expect a different result. And so, by definition, we can easily say that we are insane. And so, we don't want to stay insane. We must deprogram. We must be resurrected, and we must rise to our greatness and rise to our potential and rise to our power. And a last shout out to the black woman, that as we always have said, that the nation will rise no higher than its woman, and that the woman is the standard bearer of all truth and all justice in our society. And so for our women that's listening, you are the mothers of our nation, and you are the queens of our planet, and the goddesses of our universe, and we have not done what we need to do by you as men, and we will pledge to do a better job. Help us to stand up. Help us to be the gods. Help us to be the warriors. Help us to be the kings that we need to be, and we will see a brighter day. We love you, and we ask you to join us again this Saturday for Black Power Radio. We come at you every single week, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. We come right black at you. Don't forget, this is a Kasami show coming up at 8 p.m. She's going to be dealing with Economics 101. We love you, and we leave you as we came, always with Black Power.
You go busting your fist against the stone. brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you. You know how hard it is. Don't doubt. Being a woman, a black woman at that. In this white man's world, sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard in our six wounds, you knowing the pain we can cause.
This white man's world.
This white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all. I'm just saying
this white man's world.
This song, yeah. For all those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews, bitch. Hey, they don't let this cool world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might need me for somebody that's richer. Rip the cap off the bottom, I take a sip and feed the mother. Gotta make it if I had to beg a bottle. Beating love letters, late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls, silent inside this cage with it.
Making all my enemies bleed while my G's welding, hoping they burn.